Father in heaven, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, we know this one who's still God and yet our Heavenly Father. Lord, what a joy it is to understand that relationship with you. That means your heartbeat is for our concern. And Lord, your heartbeat to us is to give us what is needed in the hour that it's needed. You're able to do that. We thank you. Sometimes, Lord, we come to you and we think things ought to just change quickly. But somehow or another, you are working all things out. And we understand that, and yet we pray you give us patience to wait on you until we see to know that we're in your hands. No better hands can we be in. And we thank you tonight for helping us understand that through Jesus Christ, you made it possible for us to be called children of God. Now hearts cry with joy. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Now open this book, Lord. Holy Spirit, please help us understand it. Exalt Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Take your Bible and turn back to Matthew chapter 16. This is part two of last Sunday's message. Remember what this title was? Anyone remember what the title was last Sunday? Is that your final answer? That must be your final answer. I know what you got last week then, didn't I? Amen. Is that your final answer? We looked at that. We talked about in this chapter. We want to read again it through down to verse 20. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus mentioned, he said, answered and said unto them, "Blessed art thou," or said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to John chapter 6 for just a moment. John chapter 6, and we want to read, verse 67, 68, and 69. Now, let me give you, this gives us a little more information on what we're reading in Matthew 16. This chapter has to do when Jesus fed the multitude. You remember that, the 5,000? And he walked on the water, verses 15, down a few verses. And when you get down to verse 22, the following day it says that when the people stood on the other side of the sea, saw that there was none other boat there, say that one wherein the disciples entered in, and that Jesus went not with his disciples to the boat, but that his disciples were gone away. They began to look for him, and they finally found him. In verse 26, Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He said, "You passed over all that I showed, but the miracles showed that I am who I said I was. You didn't see that to believe that I am who I said I was. You just came to get stomach filled." By the way, I'm afraid that that's a lot of attitudes people have this world today. They don't look at Christ as being the Son of God, the only way of salvation. They look at him as something, getting something, because they have been told to believe something and God just do it. It's more miraculously in the sense what they can get, and it has to do with material things and health and things like that, rather than what God can give to us as far as eternal life is concerned. You go on, he talks about, he said, "I'm the bread from heaven." He said, now God gave Moses bread from heaven, but I am the true bread from heaven. He talked about that in verse 48. And he goes on and he says that Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you." Now you can see their faith was not in the spiritual side of Christ. They literally thought that he's talking about eating his flesh, and he's talking about eating the bread from heaven and drinking his blood. I guess if we didn't have the understanding of inspiration that what God is talking about from the spiritual side, we might have thought, he's teaching cannibalism. But we understand that this is the way God gives us the insight to understand how we receive by faith. Jesus Christ as our Savior and how He washes us by faith. And the meat that we have of Him is this precious book. The book of Hebrews teaches us that we want not to stay on the milk of God's Word. A baby, they'll get choked on the milk of God's Word. If you try to feed him God's Word, and you try to feed him meat, you take a baby as a child, but if you try to feed him strong meat of some kind, he'll get choked on it because he's not able to receive it. But he ought not to be a baby all his life. And that's what God is saying. This book is meat for the Christian, but we need to be on the milk of the Word to start with as a newborn babe in Jesus Christ. What is the milk? The basic things. What it is to be saved, assure your salvation, know that God has really performed that in your heart because you understand the Scriptures, you know the method, you know the procedure, you met the criteria that God said, and then you, like Peter says here, he's sure of this. And watch. And he goes on down. And finally, it's after a period of time, for the sake of time, because this didn't have to do with the message tonight, you get it down to verse 66, and he said, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Those that were following him, because he talked about this blood and to drink and this meat to eat, not understand, they said, this is too far out. Man, this is beyond our thinking. And they left him and didn't walk with him anymore. And then he turns to the disciples, which generates this question. And we see that John giving a little more about it than what we see in Matthew. And Jesus in verse 67 said Jesus unto the disciples, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And we believe and watch and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now over here, he's talking about whom the men say that I am. And he comes into the equation about who you say that I am. But now we're seeing why Peter said what he said. Because he had learned something about Jesus Christ that a lot of folks will never learn because they know him in name only, not in Savior. They know about him, I should say, in name only. So in Matthew chapter 16, as we go back again, we see now in 20, he said, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah that should come at this time. Why? Because the next few verses show. Now he's entered into to explain that he's going to die, he's going to be buried, he's going to be raised again the third day, and the new message in the age of grace that's going to open up once he goes back to heaven is not going to be the kingdom message like it is now. It's going to be the church message. And this is the era in age and grace gone 2,000 years today God never revealed. He hit some insight about it that what's going to happen, a thing that you wouldn't believe when I do it. But the age of grace, you cannot put a timetable on the age of grace. You can on the 70 weeks of Daniel. You can on the tribulation period. You can on the millennium reign. As a matter of fact, if Christ would come right now, say tonight, 7 years from now, you'd find us coming back with him to this earth. 1,000 years than that would be a millennium reign. 1,007 years later, you could see the great white throne judgment. There's a timetable for that, but we're in a day of grace today. There's no timetable. Only God knows when it's going to end. And so he gives us ample time to know who this man Jesus is. And he said, and from that time forth, Jesus began showing to his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Oh, Peter, he just knew he was all right with God. Lord, this is not going to happen to you. He said, rebuke and said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. Well, now, for about two and a half years, Peter had heard him talking about a kingdom being set up, that the kingdom of heaven's at hand. But now he's talking about dying, being buried, and rising again. And Peter speaks up quicker. Hey, this don't sound like kingdom message to me. In other words, he said, oh, be it far, Lord, this is not like he knew more than Jesus knew. And then, of course, Jesus had to get behind him. And he said in verse 23, he said, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. He said in Peter, you're acting just like a man, don't know. Listen to me, Peter, and understand what I'm saying, and you have the potential to do that, then you'll put it together. And we know that Peter didn't ever get it all the way together until after the Lord rose again and the Holy Spirit came. So we're talking about, is this that your final answer? Now, last week we looked at and saw that he said, whom do men say that I am? They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some others say you're Elias, Jeremiah, or some prophet. And in other words, the answer to this question will determine where they spend eternity. Did you know that? They could have been with him 3.5 years. If they didn't answer the question right, they never went with him to heaven. This is important. And by the way, I don't think he put it in there just for them. I think he put it for all of us. So when we come to that read, when Peter's shaped right now, when we come to that place, who do we believe that Jesus Christ is? God is our source, and God reveals this truth. And I believe it all. I may can't say it just like Peter, but I believe it all in my heart after 54 years of serving God, starting out at this threshold, believing that Jesus Christ is absolute Son of God, of the living God, not some God that's dead on a totem pole, but of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And John says that when Peter said this time, he says that he said that we are sure. And then Peter answered and said to him, to whom shall we go? And thou hast the words of eternal life. And he said, we believe and are sure. Now, when I believed, I was sure, I thought, but I'm more sure now than I was 54 years ago. By the way, if you're saved, you should be too. Because if I don't have more faith about salvation than when I got saved, I could be tricked very easy. If God hadn't brought me further to the place to understand, to be surety of what Jesus did on September 27, 1959, if I didn't have no more than I had then, I believed in Christ, but my heart wasn't strong enough to say a lot of things that I've gone through. If God didn't bring surety to my heart, you and I'd have a lot of questions.
That's right.
You heard me say, you and I. So not me, preacher. Well, see me as a servant. I need counseling then. Amen. Because I believe it all in my heart. You face things in this life, and God puts us through things in turn so we can have this assurity, just like he did here. He didn't ask this because he needed to have them tell him who he was. He knew who he was.
Amen.
He didn't ask them to see, maybe, if they, in turn, that he needed to know from them who he was. He knew. By the way, he knew who he thought. He knew who he thought they thought he was. Do you know that? He didn't have to ask the question to find out what they thought. He knew their heart already. But he did it for a reason himself. Now, after Jesus heard his disciples tell him the public opinion, what others were saying, he asked them for their opinion. This is a moment of truth. Not whom do men say that I am? That's general. You can still believe who men say that I am and all the things they gave him be in that category. But my question now is, once you give me who you heard all, and by the way, Jesus heard those names given too. He said now to the disciples, whom do ye say that I am? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment of truth for them. This is a moment of truth that they're going to prove themselves who they are, which will help them be strong in the Lord. Jesus already knew what the answer was. I believe that. I don't think he asked them because he wanted to know what they thought. He knew their thoughts. If he could speak with the scribes and Pharisees and perceive their thoughts, you know he knew what these disciples' thoughts were. I mean, he tripped them up because he knew what they were going to ask before they ever asked. And so here, he goes on, everything that Jesus had taught them and done at this up to this time was leading them to this moment of time. And their response to this question would let Jesus know how affected his personal ministry is to these men, how much they had been. Not that he need to know, but in fact that by them giving him the information, that proved to them what they knew. And it's the same with our response. Whom do ye say that Jesus Christ is? God gives us time to fulfill what he knows. Let me say that again. God gives you and us time to fulfill what he knows. Because we'll never stand before him and say, God, you knew it already. That's the reason I didn't say it. If it's not said from the heart, that means it's not part of the heart. If they didn't recognize him to be who he is, that means that they hadn't got it yet in these 2.5 years. And certainly by 3.5 years, they're going to have it down pat. Because he's going to die and be buried. And they're going to see him rise again. And you know they didn't get it all then because they were scared to death when he was crucified. But I'll tell you, when they met with him, he met with them in that resurrected form on that first Sunday morning or Sunday night. And the next Sunday night, they began to have their standards strengthened. The truth strengthened their heart that where they knew he was who he said he was, even more so now than they did here. But Peter said, we're sure of that. Now, what made him? We've seen you to know that everything you've done is beyond what man could do. There's something there that's not just man. It is God himself. So their response to him was to really show what probably he already knew, because he gives us time to fulfill what he knows. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that I think about many people had the chance to trust Christ as their Savior. And God knew from the foundation of the world, so everything that God does, He gives them time. Even though He knows it, He gives them time as long as time exists. He gives them time to know or to do what He knows they will do. It's hard for us to understand. He knows every individual who will not trust Him as Jesus as his Savior. He knows them. And He knows those who would. By the way, if you want to blow your mind, He knew it before the foundation of the world. Preacher, wait a minute. You can't teach God anything. When you know everything, you can't teach God anything. Amen. Now, just because sometimes we see somebody and we say they think they know everything, that they don't know everything. But God doesn't have to think He knows everything. He knows everything. Amen. And He knows, He said, His works from the very beginning. So now the question is, but whom say ye that I am? In verse 15. Now, this is a simple question, but it's filled with eternal application. This is more than head knowledge. It's much more than that. I think about when we look at these people who walked away from Him. I think about, I read where a man and his wife were walking down the street one day in a town and said that they were just walking along talking. All of a sudden, a nice young lady came along and he just been a gentleman. He said, howdy, how are you? And she said, I'm fine. And wives nodded heads to each other. And he turned to his wife. He said, you know, that was a nice lady there, wasn't it? She said, did you see how she smiled at me when we walked by? And she said, well, I didn't pay much attention to it. You didn't see that? I mean, she said, howdy to me, but she smiled as big as you ever seen. She said, well, that's nothing. He said, why? She said, first time I saw you, I laughed out loud. Well, here, the disciples were looking for information that would actually bring their heart closer to Him, or Jesus was to bring them closer to Him as they confessed Him. And by the way, it don't hurt us to confess Him before men. He tells us we'll do that, that He'll bless that. He sure will. So whom you say that I am? The correct answer to this question takes one to heaven. The incorrect answer to this question takes them to hell. It just simply comes down to that, to answer this one question. What is the final answer? Is it that we believe what Peter said? Or do we believe what the Pharisees and others said about Him? The final answer will determine our destiny. Now, Peter spoke for the whole group. By the way, he got it right. I mean, he simply said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He also said in Peter, in John chapter 6, he said, we're sure of that. I'm sure of that. I'm not just saying it. I'm sure of that. You know, sometimes people think that we're just saying something because we're on a religious trip. They don't realize that you can really know some things that sometimes they don't think we know. They think we're just trying to beat them over the head with a religious, you know, hammer of some kind or another. It's not that at all. They think that we think we're so smart. We don't. Hey, you see the Christian walking with God, they'll know they're not very smart and they're nothing without Jesus Christ. You don't have to tell them that. We know what we know we need a lot more things many times maybe than we show that we need in this life. There in the land of paganism, in the land of false religion, Peter looked at Jesus Christ. He saw the Messiah. He saw the Anointed One. He saw the Son of God. And what a statement he made. Up to this time, ladies and gentlemen, up to this point, only God and demons had recognized the identity of Jesus Christ other than Himself. Look for it. This is the first time the identity of Christ was seen by anything except the demons that looked at Him, like in Mark 5, and other places. We see now the disciples saying something's in their heart that had brought them to that realization for these some two and a half years that they've been walking with Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had not come to this knowledge on his own, and that's what Jesus tells him. He said, Peter, you didn't get this from flesh and blood. By the way, you and I didn't either. If you believe Jesus Christ is who He said He is, like Peter, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He's Savior. You don't get that from flesh and blood. Flesh and blood will fight you all the way with that.
That's right.
You get it from God by His Spirit. And He'll arise what even the... Why? Flesh and blood would tell you, as I said this morning, what do you mean being washed in the blood of the Lamb? I mean, washed in blood? It seems a ridiculous thing, doesn't it? And yet, when you rise it to a spiritual level and see how God has worked it out through the years, that the innocent taking the place of the guilty, and how Jesus is the Lamb of God, it makes great sense. In fact, it makes such good sense that only God could come up with such a plan in this life. And so in Matthew 16, the Lord identity was revealed to Peter by God Himself. He said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I love that. The day I got saved, I run for God 3 years. I was in a church 3 years. I was member of church 3 years. But you know, it's a lot different. It's just listening and then really finding out what God has said. He said only his Father in heaven could actually reveal that. And he does it through the Holy Spirit. He does it through his word that we have in our age. They didn't have all the word then when Peter was given this information. It had all been written at that time. He only had Old Testament and what was being said by the word who was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, the Lord's identity was revealed to Peter by God himself. He knew who Jesus was, and he confessed him openly. Judas also was there, but he died lost. Isn't it amazing? And he was son of perdition, we know. Amazing, God would put him in, but it was in God's plan and purpose. He didn't make Judas do what he did. He knew what would happen and brought him in so God's plan could be carried out. See, God can play a good deal of life. He can move anybody anywhere he wants to. If he wants Israel chastised, he can raise up men like Nebuchadnezzar and the seers and others to come in. They think they're just having war and going to get booty and other things. But they're in God's plan when they do that. And God can make them fail, or God can make them success. And we see that on Wednesday night. So Peter answered, showed us that he was saved. He knew who Jesus was. He confessed him openly. And Judas confessed him to some degree, but it wasn't a heart confession. The Bible says he was a thief to start with. And everything he did was like that. One's opinion about who Jesus is a very personal thing. I cannot make you believe that and give you information, and God can influence you to believe that he's who he is. And when we do believe him, then he said the same thing that he said to Peter. Flesh and blood didn't do that to you. It was our Father which in heaven, which we know also is through the Holy Spirit. So one's opinion about who Jesus is, very personal thing. No one can speak for me. No one can speak for you when it comes to determine who Jesus Christ is. No one can believe for me. No one can believe for you or anyone else on this earth. In the end, it does not matter what anyone has to say about who Jesus is. It comes down to this. Who do you believe he is? And that's what he's asking the apostles. What do men say that I am? Who do men say that? And they just named all kinds of people in the past that had already have died. And then he said, wait a minute, though, fellas, who do ye think I am? And then Peter spoke up for the rest of those. And I'm sure they said amen, except Judas. So who do you say that I am? Now, the second thing about this, what is your final answer to that question? What is my final answer to that question? What is the world's final answer to that question? Because just saying he was a good man, you know, he was a son of Joseph, as some say. He did some good deeds. He had some good plans. He failed at his event, though. I mean, yes, his name was Jesus. Name anything else you want to. But if that's what the world says about him, and that's all the person got, they're going to go where the world goes. But if you do what Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, we're sure of that. That means everything you tell us, we believe, even to the place to trust in you. And therefore, the destiny is different. Do not be like the atheist that does not believe in Jesus nor God. This is sinning against light itself in John chapter 3. Do not willfully close your eyes to the facts that all are his realization all around us. You remember in Psalm 19, 1 through 4, he talked about the heavens declare the glory of God. We've got a lot of things that heaven declares about God to get us to look into him so the Father can reveal himself through us by the Holy Spirit of God. Do not be like the false believers who deny who Jesus is. John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Now people who don't believe that are false believers because God gave it as a gift to this world. We also know in John 14:6, Jesus talked about, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We know in 8:24, Jesus said this to those unbelievers in that day, ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, the disciples had to come up with a conclusion that Jesus meant what he said, and he's who he said he was, for them to follow him and be sure that he was the absolute Son of God. The issue today is, what do you believe about Jesus? What is your final answer to the question? Who do you say that the I am is? Who is this? Could you confess him with your personal a Savior? Have you done that? Most of us have. Are you sure of that? We should be, because of who He is, and He's given us enough information about that. Or in spite of the evidence, I reject Jesus, some people say. And that's happened today. You hear it all the time. You can give all the evidence you want about who Jesus is, and they say, well, I still have this thing I'm hung up on. I still reject because of this, and so forth. You got some comedians get on and really mock Jesus Christ. I'm just amazed that God don't strike some of them right there so the world can see that He's still God. Amen. You know, that I am raised of that. I mean, they get on there and mock Him as being nothing, and yet God in His tolerance allows such as that because He loves individuals. In spite of what the Bible says, they reject Christ. In spite of what God says, even what millions of believers say, like you and I, they still reject Him because they think we're on a religious trip like all the rest of the world. They say, I will not receive Jesus into my heart and my life. What is the final answer? The final answer should be who Jesus is, the absolute Son of God, of the living God. What is our final answer? Now, when you hear people talk about God, people can give these answers, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. I went through and picked some of these out. People can give these answers who Jesus is. He could be the last Adam, the advocate, the apostle, the alpha, the beginning, the beloved, the branch, the bread, the bridegroom, the bright morning star, the chief, a day star, the deliverer, the day star, door. He can be Emmanuel. He can be fountain of life, help, hope, head of church. I am king, life, mediator, Nazarene, priest, Passover prophet, physician, teacher. And even to the place that they could say they believe in Him and Him still not be their Savior. That's what Peter and the apostles are learning here. This is too important now to go any further without them assuring in their heart, because they're going to see the one they'll trust and die. They're going to see Him buried. They're going to see Him in a tomb like everybody else has been down through since God created man. How in the world can such a person as this help them? They've got to have it in their heart. Whatever God sees fit to do, He's still in charge because He's God. Whatever happens to Christ, what He's promised is going to happen. Isn't it an amazing thing? Aren't you glad you know that not only did He tell us He's going to die, but when He died, He told us what's going to happen before He died. And when He died and was buried, it did happen. That ought to ring in our hearts, say, man, no wonder. No, hey, I'd refuse to even believe anybody else other than Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, you're a fool then. Well, that's fine. Fools can go to heaven too, amen, in Jesus Christ. And there are people that really think that we're fools. They believe in God, don't believe in Him. We know that in the age of grace, that's not so. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. So today, Jesus' mission stands complete, and He tells us to tell the world about Him. Matthew 16:10, again, Jesus told them, 20, Jesus told them to tell no one. It was not time at this time. And the question is, as you tell them, what is their final answer going to be? Here, the idea that I got this from, I told you, it's that game show where a contestant had time to change his or her mind. You remember they said that, you know, these are the four answers, lock in one. They lock one in, and they say, is this your final answer? Now, why did they do that? They gave you time to change your mind. Amen? Once they locked it in, though, it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what God is doing. Who is Jesus to you and me? What is the answer? I mean, when you think about this, is He your Savior or not? Is He your Lord or not? What is your answer? And the amazing thing about it is now we may have what we think is the answer, but as long as we have time, we can change our mind. An infidel can change his mind. An unsaved, ungodly, reprobate can change his mind until time closes. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. God says, whom do you say that I am? And whatever they say, if it's not the truth of who He is, as long as God gives them time, there's a possibility they could change their mind. But once time is locked in, you can't change it no more. And for people who wish to think that there's life after they die, that they can change their mind then, that's from the pit of hell. Satan wants people to believe that because he's got them trapped if they die physically without Jesus Christ. So you see, this is important that they get this settled in their mind for the next year plus they're going to be with Christ and see all they see at the end. until he raised himself from the dead. Is he the great teacher? Is he a leader? Or just a good example to some people? Is he a myth? What is the final answer? That's what you have to look at. If you can honestly say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then we ought to rejoice in him. If you have any other answer, they have time to change their answer. That's what's amazing about Christ. Now, you and I know that our patience runs loose sometimes, don't we? I mean, we give something a chance two or three times, do something, that's it. I ain't messing anymore. Amen. You know why I know that? We're all in the boat paddling together. Amen. And therefore, we understand that. But God tolerates a lot of things, folks. And he knows. He loves humanity. You and I don't even begin to understand how much he loves humanity. If you cannot say that Jesus is your Lord, if you have any other answer, then you have time to change your mind. And what God is saying, please heed his call and come to Jesus Christ right now so he can manifest. If nothing else, just believe the record that God gave us. He said one time to those people, he said, believe because of the miracles. Believe what you see to come to me, because he realized you won't get it all like you should or get what you should until you get saved and get the Holy Spirit and let God reveal to you that he's got in this book is needed to feed that new man. And when you get it fed, it'll make more sense to you that time. To just acknowledge his existence is not enough. You must bow to his authority. You must trust him and then serve him. Jesus' first question revealed to what others had to say about him. His second question revealed what the disciples had to say and will reveal what you and I have to say. What is our final answer? Now, I wished, and I close with this thought, I wish that I could have been there to see Jesus at his birth. I love to have seen that. Not the fact of being born of Mary, just the fact of being when he was born. I don't know as I'd love to live in that age, but I love to have seen that. I love to have seen when he talked to the leaders at 12 years old down in Jerusalem, wouldn't you? I love to have been peeping through something, looking at that time, and see those smart, educated men dumbfounding for a little 12-year-old boy. Answering questions of them that some of their own people could not even answer. He knew history of Israel better than they knew anything about the history of Israel. I'd love to have been there when John baptized him. Wouldn't you? I don't know if I'd seen the dove come down or not, but that must have been a spectacular sight when he baptized him. I'd love to have been there and heard him teach. I'd love to have been there and saw him perform some of the miracles. I'd love to have seen all of that. I think that'd been a great thing. The only problem is some of that I may have been like others. I might have been deceived by it. I'm glad I came along when I did. We have an edge, ladies and gentlemen. We have an edge because God has given us his Spirit. And he's given us his Word. You have a copy of that. Most of these people didn't have a copy of the Word of God. They had to go somewhere to the synagogue and have someone else interpret to them. We come to church and someone gives us in a direction, but you have a Bible at home. You can go home and study that Bible in context. And in doing so, see whether those things are true or not. And I thought about it. I'd have to seen him. I'd have seen him walk out of that tomb. Man alive. Can you believe what it would be like if someone would die in 4 or 5 days? We had enough the other day with that guy that died in a baggy bar, in a body bag. And they were going to embalm him. And all of a sudden, his life. He was alive. Open it up, and there he is, sets up. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? Now, I don't know what I'd done if I'd been around there then, but I've loved to see Jesus come out of that tomb. He'd been dead 4 days. What amazes me. I loved seeing that. I loved seeing that day on the Mount of Olives, been standing and watched as he walked with the disciples, and suddenly gravitation broke loose from his feet, and he began to rise up into heaven and see him go up to heaven as he rose in the sky. I loved to see that. You say, well, I don't know. Don't tell me. By the way, you would have too. Amen. I'd love to have been there to see that. I won't. Those things should make someone who saw it believe. 500 brethren saw him at one time in a resurrected form. You can't give that many people a mirage or any other thing. They saw him. They reported they saw him. What am I saying? I'm saying those things I cannot see him. I have not seen him. Those things in themselves don't make me believe what I believe because I've seen those things. I read about those things spiritually. I've seen those things in my mind, but I've not actually seen it myself. I've got to totally believe God. Amen. And what does the Word say? Because I do believe that, and I do believe that he did what he said he'd do for me when I trusted Christ as Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I will see him when he comes back.
Amen.
Say, preacher, you're just too much. You're just bragging. Not on myself. I believe that he is the Son of the living God. I believe that he is the Lamb of God, like John the Baptist said. I believe that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. I believe there is no life eternal. I believe with all my heart that everything God said about him I know, and that I don't know that God said about him is true.
Amen.
I believe that from the depth of my soul, and I will see him one day. I don't know. I've been studying the book of Revelation recently. I just don't know. I know these crowns will be given. I don't know the criteria of all the crowns. I do know there's this faithfulness. I do know this is being obedient. I do know this is not playing Christianity. I do know this, the church is an important place in my life because I believe God works through the church and nowhere else. He works outside, but it's all instigated through the church. And I pray with all my heart, Lord God, and I wrote these down. In my mind and heart, I said, I pray the day comes that somehow or another something I've done, that those wonderful nail pierced hands, they take a crown, and I see him come, and maybe he say there's something I've done that's worthy of a crown. Not to get it, to do it because I love him, to be faithful because I love him, to take the crap of this world because I love him, take the crap of everybody else because I love him. That somehow or another I've done something right, that those nail-pierced hands that takes a crown to place on someone's head would place one on my head, maybe your head. And I just for a second see that God did approve of what's going on in my life. And somehow or another, then quickly as I can, to take it off of my head and lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lay it down and say, oh my God, and maybe sing the song, oh hell, the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. This is my final answer. I pray, folks, I pray. 54 years have gone by. My wife is talking about, we've already outlived most of our families. Except my mother and dad. That shall be your prayer. And it will not start until you come to the place that you understand when Jesus said, whom do ye say that I am? Not the world. Whom do ye say that I am? And the more you and I learn of who he is, the more he's going to be precious to serve. And then you're going to thank him for the rewards. You're going to thank him for what he's done, the heir of the joint heritage with Jesus Christ. And one day, see his wonderful, beautiful face. Some say he had blue eyes. I don't know. I'll tell you this, the glorified body is going to be a sight. Maybe we'll all have blue eyes when we get on the other side. Amen. I know this, we'll have 20/20 eyes.
Amen.
I won't see one of them wearing glasses. Aren't they aggravation?
Amen.
Especially if you sweat like I do. Mine fog up all the time. And the worst thing in the world, being a hot place, walking a cold place, being a cold place, walking a hot place. You go blind when you do that. Just think, no blood pressure, no heart attacks, no cemeteries, no undertakers. They can be there, but they won't be doing that job. Father, listen, this is important. It's important to answer that question. Whom did he say that I am? Not the world, but you. Would you stand to your feet? Father, I love you, Lord, and I thank you so much for this precious book. Lord, you've heard me say 100 times or more, I don't know anything about you, want for this book. You've never come to me in any form of fashion, silhouette, or anything else. It's been no control of to show me yourself. But the Holy Spirit, in the hours of along with you in this book, and my wife knows every week hours is put in this, even on Sunday. It seems like we have no day off. Our Father, all of this gives us assurance of what the apostles knew. Who do you say that I am? Our final answer is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, when we see that and understand what the apostles went through, and then to understand some things we have to go through, sometimes your children's hearts are broken so bad. They do everything they think is right, and all of a sudden the world turns upside down. They do everything that they know to do, and somehow or another it seems like Satan reverses it. We're glad to know that our God has got a victorious day coming. And He'll prove to the world and to everyone else who's right and who's wrong. And if we know who you are and know what you're doing, we believe our life will be transformed into that vessel that God needs until He comes back to close out time to be used of Him. And Father, that's our desire. Then one day you'll make all those that people said was wrong see what was right. Bless our people this week here tonight, Lord. Please do that. Lord, they turned aside the things of the world. They could have stayed home, but they didn't. They came here, and so we ask you tonight to bless them. May they have a good week. May soon we'll be seeing you on the other side and hear you say at least one or two things. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.